speaking of John the Baptist. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translates as teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,' which is translated as Peter." Blessed be the word of God.
I don't know what it is about this congregation in particular, but since I have been here for 4 months, I've heard this phrase more than my entire 25 years of ministry. And the phrase is, "I wouldn't ever want your job." Well, some days I don't want it either. However, we get called to do things, and those callings can take us to crazy places and help us meet the most interesting people. There is a rhythm to the liturgical calendar. It goes Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, the baptism of the Lord, and then for 2 Sundays, it's the call of the disciples. And that's what John's text is today, calling the disciples. But these guys just got up and followed him. And I always wonder, what was it about him that they just left and followed him? Did he have a certain kind of charisma? Was he a good-looking guy? The text doesn't tell us. But they have to get up and follow him. Tomorrow we celebrate Dr. King's birthday, and I have to admit that when I heard his "I Have a Dream" speech for the first time, it was the speech that sent me to seminary. I heard a great orator, and I knew that words had power. I have a dream. I have a dream for the church universal. I have a dream that one day we will stop playing the church, and we will start being the church. We get so hyper about the Christian right taking over the political scene. The reality is they did not take over. We left the table. And we left it to them. And because we did that, there are 48 million Americans living in poverty. Poverty is not normal. It's all around us and we see it so much, we just think it's normal. But poverty is a socially constructed thing where people socially construct this and there are winners and there are losers, and then we turn around and blame the losers. I hired a woman when I was working at a not-for-profit organization. She was on food stamps. She had 3 children. Her husband was in prison. Every single time that I got a grant and I could raise her salary, something was taken away from her. Housing, food stamps. She did not have cable. They wore heavy coats in the winter. This was not a life of luxury. Sometimes all they had to eat at night was cereal. And people blame people like her for being poor. There was a great story on NPR yesterday that very explicitly talks about how poverty is socially constructed. The commissioner of the NFL makes $30 million a year. The NFL, through ticket sales and selling jerseys and knickknacks, bring in $10 billion a year. And yet, it's considered a not-for-profit. Billionaires go to cities and say, we have this team, we want you to build us a stadium. And so everyone gets excited, and the mayor raises the taxes on the people who can least afford it to build a stadium for billionaires. I have a dream that one day the church will wake up and say, this is wrong. I have a dream that one day we will get sick and tired of children being shot by guns. And then hearing the response, guns don't kill people. People kill people. That's insanity. And it has got to stop. We ignore the children of this country. We leave them in poverty. There are 1.1 million children who are homeless. If we ignored our children, then the police could come and call it neglect. But as a society, we ignore our children and we call it normal. I have a dream that one day the church will wake up and take care of the children of the earth. I have a dream that one day peace will reign, that there will not be 4 million refugees in Syria. The church has got to stand up and we have got to say it is enough. We are followers of Christ. It is enough. I have a dream that one day we will find peace in our hearts and that we will go into the world and be bearers of peace, that we will find healing in our lives and we will go and we will be healers. Half of people who come out of seminary quit the ministry in 5 years. I get it. 25 years of it has made me gray. But I have a dream because I see what the church can be. I see amazing people getting together every week and loving each other and strengthening each other because we got up and we said, we follow Jesus. The things that wear ministers out are gossip and constantly carping about things that don't matter. But as a church, it is time for us to stand up and to stand together. I was in a sociology class, and my professor was talking about the Good Old Boy Network. And I said, you know, in the church, women, when they get in positions of power, they knock each other down. Why don't women create a good old girl network? And she looked at me and said, well, I think there is a sense in which all oppressed people participate in their own oppression. I've always argued that gay men's worst enemy is not some dumb redneck, but it's other gay men. I've seen what women do to each other. I would never want to be a woman. I think it's time for us to join hands and to support each other and to be the church of Jesus Christ. Next week, I'm going to be talking to you about your individual callings. But we as a church have got to have a voice in this community. We have got to have a clarion call on behalf of people who have no voice. But you have to buckle your seatbelts and you have to be serious. Because when you start following Jesus, crazy things happen. A friend of mine called me about 6 months ago. He's a head of staff at a large church. And he said, you know what? I didn't go to seminary to sit around in rooms with architects. I didn't go to seminary to do fundraising. I went to seminary because I love people. That man took a $20,000 pay cut to go to the place where he thought God had called him to go. If you follow Jesus, it's going to take you in crazy places. You're going to meet the most interesting people. You're going to be called to do the hardest work of your entire lives. Or we can sit around and pick blackberries and do nothing. It is my prayer for this congregation that, you ready? I'm going to tell you the truth. And Marianne Williamson says St. Paul missed a step when he said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Here's a step he missed. You will know the truth will piss you off, and then the truth will set you free. That you are a group of talented, amazing, loving people. You need each other. And we need to be going in the same direction. I have decided to follow Jesus. How about you? Think about it.